As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
The only way to score is, of course, to play with a handbrake off.
Hello, I'm Ian Stone. This is Handbrake Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic. I'm here with Adrian Clark and Art de Roche. Morning.
Hello.
Morning.
Morning. We're looking back over that 5-0 win, that fantastic 5-0 win over Chelsea. And obviously looking forward, I suppose we could say we're looking forward to Sunday's North London derby. I mean, Liverpool blew it last night as well, so it is looking pretty good. But we'll get to all that. We had a couple of choices for opening question. What seems to have happened is that me and Adrian have gone for one and Art has gone for the other. So, Adrian, I'll ask you this question first. Taking inspiration from Ben White's magnificent second goal on Tuesday, of course he meant it. When have you taken the credit for something you didn't intend to?
Yeah, he definitely didn't mean it. I accidentally took credit for winning the FA Youth Cup, which I think is quite a thing. In my pen picks throughout my career, it always had me down as FA Youth Cup winner with the Arsenal, and it never happened. But I never wanted to just sort of tell anyone that actually, yeah, that wasn't me. It was a kid called Albert Clark, not Adrian Clark. I was a year older. I was not in the youth team at that time. But I dined out on it for many, many years. And yeah, I was happy not to correct anyone.
Well, fair enough. It's weird though, because I know Albert Clark and he's really bitter about the whole thing. I mean, really, he was ranting at me the other day, that Adrian Clark. If I ever see him, I will have words. I won that Youth Cup fair and square. When we're talking about we're taking the credit for something you didn't intend to do, I do get mistaken on occasion for David Baddiel. Jewish men of a certain age, it does happen. And I had a woman hug me the other day, say that I was the soul of the Jewish people. And if you're listening, I didn't tell you it wasn't what I wasn't, David. I thought, and to be honest, what I do is I tell everyone that I'm David and that I'm a massive Arsenal fan, and because he's a Chelsea fan, you see, and I just think it's just slightly annoying for him at times. But anyway, that I did that one. Turns out I'm not the soul of the Jewish people, even though I do the best I can. We were wondering about pettiness as well, with the way that Ben White is so petty. It's absolutely fantastic. What's your biggest act of pettiness?
So I'm playing Football Manager at the minute, running a 2007-2008 database. So I've got that team. And I kept Manuel Almunia for about 6 months. Didn't play him.
Why?
I didn't play him for a single minute. And then I sold him as soon as I could.
Nice.
So I think that checks out. And then also I stole Daniel Agger and Xabi Alonso from Liverpool. So they're my team now. Well, I paid about 9 million for them, which I'd say is a robbery. So
poached, I think, is the phrase.
Maybe poached them.
Can you tap them up? Yeah. Can you get done for that in Football Manager?
you can chat to the agents and stuff, but I wouldn't want to get myself in trouble, so I won't call it tap it up.
The pettiness comes from obviously Chelsea not naming Kai Havertz right on their Twitter feed. I mean,
absolutely
that.
Fantastic. I mean,
you know, you got under goal, their skin, don't you?
Yeah. Fourth Arsenal goal, and then, you know, Ben White at the end. It's just so petty. And therefore, I'm so glad that he celebrated. I mean, genuinely delighted that he celebrated. And so he should as well. They're big goals. Well, let's talk about it then. We talked about it on Monday's pod. If you listened to it, and if you didn't, well, I don't know. I'm very upset with you. But you know what? It's all right. You're listening to this one. We were a little nervous going into the game. But Adrian, you really sort of G'd me up, to be honest with you, because you were talking about how Chelsea can be got at and how they don't do the work. And that's sort of exactly what happened. That we were running in behind them. We were brilliant, our movement, all the rest of it. But partly is Chelsea couldn't live with us, but partly is that they didn't want to put the effort in to live with us.
No, I've had a lot of nice messages on the back of that. Look, people saying, oh, you made me feel better ahead of the game, and that's kind of how it turned out, which is really nice when it works out like that. Look, I've watched a lot of Chelsea this season, and there are lazy players in there, and I think we saw it in the game, Mudryk in particular. It's a mixture of laziness and kind of just little bit of incompetence, really, in terms of his positional play. Doesn't really look at ease with what he's asked to do. And we really played on that, didn't we, down that right-hand side with Saka and Ben White. And in general, I just felt that if you can get at this Chelsea defence at a fast tempo with a real good drive and energy, you're going to cut them apart. And really chuffed. I mean, it was one of my most fun nights, I think, really, at Emirates Stadium in recent times. It's not often that we really batter one of the so-called big boys, is it? So there was so much I liked about that performance.
I think we all felt the same way. Although, we went 1-0 up and we're playing brilliantly, and the first half an hour you think, well, this could be anything. But also, we didn't score the second goal. Chelsea had some chances as well.
Yeah, I think they kept us honest in a way, where they still had some threat just because of the speed someone like Nicholas Jackson had. But to Adrian's point, I just felt they were so disconnected that even if they did score one of those chances, once Arsenal got their second, it would have been a very, very long night for them anyway. I don't really think if they had scored, it would have changed much, even if the mood would have slightly changed a bit in the stadium had they scored.
You know, I mean, goals do change games. I mean, we all know that. But, they didn't get a goal. And then once we got the second. But, Adrian, I mean, I think you actually did put this on Twitter about how it's the difference between a team and individuals playing. I mean, they're not a team. I've seen them play pretty well this season a few times. They played very well against Liverpool in the Carabao Cup final, sort of unlucky to lose. They've taken it to Man City a couple of times. I was concerned about this, but the way that we move the ball, I think it was Trossard and Havertz interviewed after the game, and they were talking about how quick the game was. And that was us doing that, and Chelsea just couldn't live with it because they're not connected enough, right?
Yeah, exactly. You've both used that phrase, connected, and that's it. You know, the defence and the midfield were fragmented, and we definitely created those sort of overloads in midfield. What really happened was they were quite worried about our wingers, understandably. So the likes of Caicedo in particular was often having to go over there and cover. And then, of course, if you shovel the ball back inside, he's not in central midfield. It's just Gallagher and Fernandes. And we had the rest of our midfield in there. You know, we had Ødegaard, Rice, we had Partey, often Tomiyasu. And we just kind of played around them for fun through to Havertz, obviously, a lot of the time. I thought Havertz's movement was top notch.
Well, let's talk about Kai. Scored or assisted 11 goals in the last 10. Amy's got a piece that may well be up by now, but if not, it will be soon on the Athletic website. When you look at him, and they've swapped him for Nicholas Jackson, and he does have some qualities, but finishing ain't one of them. And Kai is looking like, I mean, I'm not saying it's a bargain for 65 million or whatever we paid for him, but obviously Mikel Arteta had, this is the other thing that is different about us and Chelsea. I mean, there are a lot of things, obviously, but the other thing is recruitment as well. We seem to buy players to fit in particular positions, whereas they just go, I'll have that one, that one, that one. Oh, and that one looks good as well. And it does speak about how important recruitment is.
Yeah, I say rather than recruiting players to fit positions, it's more recruiting players who have attributes that can lend themselves to multiple positions. So,
yes,
obviously Havertz was brought in at the start to play in midfield.
Well, he said that, though. He said that, didn't he? It doesn't mean that that's what he thought. Maybe he was taking the pressure off him.
I know. He did actually start his first game as a striker against Manchester City in the Community Shield. But I think the fact that he does have those attributes that lend themselves to so many positions lead to games like the Chelsea one where, yes, he was playing up front, but there were times where he was connecting really well with players in midfield. So when it does come to a point in the season where you maybe need a plan B, which has been him up front, it's worked really well, particularly, I think, when Trossard has been around him as well, because he's almost like the second striker, really.
16 goals this season, isn't it? I mean, I mean, he's not even started quite a few games.
Exactly. And I think having someone like Trossard near Havertz is just a real bonus, because he's not afraid to shoot. Havertz sometimes, even in the first half against Chelsea, was a little bit shy, I'd say, to shoot.
He had a shot when he should have passed, and he passed when he should have shot, is essentially what
happened. Exactly. So it is nice to have, I guess, the opposite to that in someone who will just see the goal and have a go. Thankfully, in the past couple of games, it's really, changed the game for Arsenal.
Just a quick one before we move on, Stoney. He came off, I think, on 72 minutes, and by the final whistle, he'd still made more off-the-ball runs than anyone else on the pitch. I think it's an area of his game that doesn't get appreciated.
Yeah, quite. And in terms of just one more thing about the recruitment, when you look at Caicedo and you look at Mudryk, and we ended up with Declan Rice, and we ended up with Leandro Trossard, I think we got so much the better deal from that. But I mean, was there an element of, did Mikel Arteta really want Mikhailo Mudryk for that sort of money, or did he just table some massive bid just to mess with Chelsea? I mean, this is the word.
No, I think he would have really wanted Mudryk, but also you can't really predict what would have happened if Mudryk came to Arsenal. He could have been just as good as Trossard, if not better. It's just because he's gone to such a dysfunctional environment. I think we're seeing not just him, but a lot of players almost lost in what they're doing.
They're floundering, aren't they?
So I wouldn't want to kind of pin it on those two guys and say, oh, they're doing so terribly, and Arsenal have got the better side of the deal just because of that. I think there's a lot more that kind of goes into it.
Well, that's very generous of you, okay?
He's
such a nice guy. I'm absolutely pinning it all on Chelsea's ridiculous buying, by the way. Moment just to appreciate Thomas Partey's dummy on Caicedo. It was just absolutely a thing of beauty. And he looked like a player again. I mean, Adrian, we get prime Partey back. I mean, how does anyone even get through us?
Yeah, well, I think we said it in the preview pod that it might be the right time for Thomas Partey. I'm so glad that Mikel Arteta saw it. I'm so glad that Partey trained well that week, because, with the two big ones, I don't think he would have fancied Jorginho for both. So it was a case of, I think we can get Partey in against this Chelsea mob because they're get-at-able. And also, if it goes badly, Jorginho can come in on Sunday. If it goes well, then we've got our Thomas back. And that's kind of how it is. I thought he was sensational in the first half, breaking up play, having that real presence, lots of interceptions on the front foot. And second half, he was really smooth as well. So,
it's looking good. It is looking good.
Well, we've waited
a
while, haven't we, to see Partey?
We waited all season. In fact, a season and a half, to be honest, because he was terrible second half of last season.
And that, The first goal, I talk about on this Arsenal Analyse piece that I've done for on the Arsenal website, sort of try and break it down. But Chelsea's midfield was really wide open, and Saka passes a ball into Havertz, who sort of just drops into this hole, massive hole. And then it's Thomas is on the front foot to support him. Declan's pulled out wide. And we've got the 2v1 with him and Trossard. And it was so simple, but so effective. And I think that is a kind of play that we can use game in, game out, really, against teams. It's superb.
It is. It's very, very, very nice to watch. I mean, I don't even know what I want to say about Martin Ødegaard. I've watched various sort of 5-minute little clips of our captain just doing his thing. It's utterly dreamy to watch him. He's just a wonderful, wonderful footballer. I mean, like I say, again, I don't particularly want to highlight writing from other other publications, but Barney Roney in The Guardian was talking about that mixture of pressing and sort of beauty. He said it's like being hounded by a poet. And I sort of understood what he meant, right? There is something beautifully destructive about the way that he plays. It's wonderful to watch, isn't it?
He was still pressing like a dog.
When
it was like 3-0.
Dogs well known for dogs their pressing. I've got a spaniel. Yeah. Oh my God, he never leaves it be. Honestly, it's like, generally when I got food. So yes, they do.
Ask a postman.
Pressing like a dog. That is our new one. We're going to use that again. But we know what you mean.
Yeah, and to be fair, I was almost more happy that he actually got assists, because that's what makes people take notice. He's been setting a ridiculous standard from, I'd say, around December, from just a playmaking perspective. But people don't really care until it ends up creating a goal. So I would have said he played similarly good in the first half against Aston Villa. But people will probably forget about that performance now because of the result. It's nice that he was one of the players who was highlighted so much because, as we've spoken about, he created a ridiculous amount of chances, 8, which is the most by an Arsenal player in the Premier League since 2017. And the only player with more is Mesut Ozil, which was 12 against Sunderland in 2017 as well. So I was just, quite appreciative that he actually got some numbers, because it will help the wider discussion around him, because I don't care
about the wider discussion. I mean, we know what we've got. We watch him lead from the front and pressing and the passing and all the rest of it. But sure, if other people need convincing that Martin Ødegaard possibly is the best midfield player in the Premier League this season, but he's certainly up there, Adrian. I mean, in terms of our performance, that might be one of the best performances of the season. As you say, we absolutely battered Chelsea. I mean, we keep scoring loads and loads of goals. The 7th time this season we won by 5 goals or more. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we had discussions on this very podcast about how we couldn't score goals. Mm. What's happening? I mean, since the turn of the year, we played 14, won 12, drawn 1 and lost 1. We've scored 45 and conceded 6. Ridiculously efficient and exciting and attacking team.
It's been sensational. I think we just got to appreciate it no matter what happens in the last 4 games, and let's hope, you know, what happens is what we all dream of. But
come on Brighton, I think, is the first
exactly
thing. Come but, on Brighton but, and whoever think, else is playing that lot.
I don't think there's any doubt that we've been the best team in this calendar year. We're playing a standard of football that is exceptional. And Martin Ødegaard, just going back to him, that was a beautiful performance. I had to put in my vote for the Football Writers Award this week because the voting closes on the 30th. And I was holding off. And I wanted it to be an Arsenal player. I don't think I voted for an Arsenal player before because, you know, other players have had better, you know, I'm not biased when it comes to that. But I think Arsenal have been the best team over the course of this season. Wanted it to be an Arsenal player and probably narrowed it down to Declan or Ødegaard. And that one's tipped me over the edge. And I just think, so I've cast my vote, gone for Martin Ødegaard. And I think that he has been truly exceptional. with his on and off the ball work this season. And some of the sort of footwork inside the box, the flicks and the tricks is great. The delicate passes, the work rate, it's, you know, that pass for Havertz, that brilliant pass. But there were so many throughout the game.
The one for Havertz that led to the corner that was saved by the keeper, that was an unbelievable pass too. I love it, along the ground.
People, I think, have always been really frightened to use Dennis Bergkamp's name in comparison to other players because he's a godlike figure for good reason. But Martin is, I'm noticing this week, a lot of people are using, you know, are comparing Ødegaard and Bergkamp and saying that he's the best since or he's up there with. And I really do think he's closing in on Dennis in terms of the quality that he's producing on such a consistent basis. He is.
It's about winning something.
Fantastic. Yeah, you got to win stuff. Of course you have.
About winning something.
But in terms of just looking at what he does, on the ball particularly, you know, it's close.
It's special. No doubt. It is very, very special. I personally voted for Albert Clark in the Football Writers. go on, Albert. We're with you. One more thing, by the way. Whoever decided to start allaying Chelsea passes, I mean, fair play. That was just outstanding. Ian Stone, Art de Roche, and Adrian Clark here on Handbreak Off, the Arsenal podcast brought to you by The Athletic.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Catch all new episodes Thursdays on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ian Stone, Art de Roche, and Adrian Clark on the Athletic's Arsenal podcast, Handbreak Off. Now, we have a pretty big game coming up on Sunday, North London Derby. But I would have thought that every one of you listening must now have seen Jurrien Timber's beautiful goal against Blackburn for the under-21s on Monday night, as he made his return from that horrible ACL injury he sustained on his debut back in August.
Through the lines to Jurrien Timber, who's inside the Blackburn area, and gets the shot off, and what a goal that is from Jurrien Timber. What a return to competitive football for the Dutchman.
Now, a broadcaster and Handbreak Off listener, Harry Simeon, commentated on the game for Arsenal at Ewood Park, and he sent us this message.
It was a return for the Dutchman that was 254 days in the making. He couldn't have had an unluckier start to life at the Arsenal, but Jurrien Timber was back starting a game of football for Arsenal's under-21s at Ewood Park on Monday night. He was selected at left-back and the plan was always for him to play 45 minutes, which he seemed to come through unscathed. Add to that, we got a moment when he turned inside and finished superbly, beating Felix Goddard in the Blackburn Rovers goal to open the scoring in a game that went on to finish 2-2. Timber's presence really raised the level right from the off. Arsenal were playing confident, well-structured and progressive football with the former Ajax man at the heart of it. He was drifting into midfield, making runs down the left-hand side and always looking to progress the ball as early as possible. His leadership really shone through, I thought, as he seemed to guide and coach some of the young defenders through that first half. At around about 30 to 35 minutes, however, his physical level did visibly begin to drop. Totally understandable given how long he's been sidelined, and I'm sure he'd have been feeling some aches and pains probably during the game and certainly the morning after. He didn't look quite ready to compete at Premier League level just yet, but that final layer of fitness, the match sharpness, if you like, only comes from playing competitive fixtures. It's impossible to replicate that kind of thing in training sessions. It's another big step, though, towards a return to full fitness for Arsenal's summer signing. What watching him up close on Monday, even at this level, showed me is Arsenal have been without one hell of a player this season. He's versatile, intelligent, brave in possession, defensively aware, and a super, super talent. It was great to see him back, and I can't wait to see him in first team action. Hopefully, he gets that moment before the end of the Premier League campaign.
Art, how excited are you to see Timber back? I mean, I'm not saying we haven't missed him, because there have definitely been games when it would have been nice to have that solidity. And I think he is obviously the long term, the one that Mikel Arteta wants in that left back position. But at the start of the season, in pre-season, when we were watching him, he was the one we were getting excited about above everyone.
Yeah, I think what makes him really different, and Mikel Arteta has spoken about this in a press conference quite recently, is while Tomiyasu can do the inverting thing and is a better one-on-one defender than Zinchenko, I think what Timber offers in attack especially is what gets people excited, because he's not just someone who's going to sit in that kind of midfield area. He can actually get forward too and affect the game. So it was nice that he did that with a goal at Ewood Park. I doubt he'd do that on his return, but I'm happy to be proved wrong on that one. I think that side of his game and just the sheer versatility of the guy is a really big boost for whenever he's available. Obviously, he only played 45 minutes against Blackburn, so we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But
we've only got four games this season. I'm not sure that he's going to be making his first team return this season, Adrian. I mean, maybe he'll come on as a sub. But
in the title procession day against Everton.
That's what it's now been called, isn't it? I think it'll be on the programme. Oh, my God. Everton at home, though, there is a nice 98 vibe to that, though, isn't there, if we get to that? But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
It was a brilliant goal, and I do think that even though we might don't have the sort of natural left-back option, you know, because you've got Zinny, who's really a left-back, who's a midfielder. You've got Tommy, who's a left-back, but really a right-back.
Or a centre-back, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got Timber, who's really probably a centre-back or a right-back ahead of a left-back.
Kimmy's a centre-back as well.
Kimmy's a centre-back. So we haven't got a natural left-back, but we've also got four pretty good options. And we seem to be, as you rightly pointed out with our record in 2024, we seem to be doing all right. So I don't think that it's a priority, is my honest opinion.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
They get a hand break off and you can see that they are more free to play.
Tottenham away, 2 o'clock on Sunday. We're gonna be at least a point clear, whatever happens, possibly more depending on Man City's result at Brighton tonight. Either of you going, by the way? Art, you going? You're gonna be in the press box?
I don't think so. Amy will be there, so I think I will be watching at home on TV.
Adrian?
We did a show, don't we, from Emirates Stadium for the away game. So yeah, it's going to be frustrating not to be there.
But it will be incredibly tense. I mean, look, our away record is outstanding. We've kept 6 clean sheets in the last 6 Premier League games. We are strong away. Adrian, I'm going to come to you first. Like you did with Chelsea, give us the reasons why we can beat them.
Well, there are a few. I remember last year, first and foremost. I know this is it's a different manager, but we went to the into the cauldron and we owned the game.
Magnificent performance. Yeah. Although I always wish that Thomas Partey's volley went in. That was the one, really. But other than that, it was so strong. We went 2-0 up and we held them at arm's length. Didn't we?
Exactly. And so we've proven that we can handle that sort of atmosphere and an environment. So that's good. The high line tactics won't change ever under Ange. We know that. So they're going to press us. They're going to squeeze up to the halfway line. And because we've got Martin Ødegaard, one of the best, well, actually statistically he is the best through ball maker in the Premier League, I expect us to slip plenty of passes in beyond that high line. They don't have their first choice fullbacks fit and available. I think Pedro Porro and Destiny Udogie are a big part of what they do. And you're probably looking at Emerson Royale and Ben Davis coming in instead, which I'm not unhappy about. So there's just 3 little tasters of why we should be confident. They've got very good forwards. That they'll always test you defensively. But I believe that as a style match, we have the game to unlock Tottenham in terms of, because they leave that space in behind, and we've got players that can absolutely hurt them in those situations.
And Adrian, one more thing. So I will come to you, Art, but one more thing. In terms of the freshness, right? I mean, look, they haven't played for, they played 2 weeks ago. They got absolutely hammered 4-0 at Newcastle. Weird game. They seem to be playing quite well, and suddenly they were like 3-0 down within about 10 minutes. But we're coming off the back of 2 outstanding wins, particularly the one on Tuesday night. So does that freshness, I mean, we'll have had a few days off. It's not like they'll be, you know, coming straight off a game and then 2 days later flying back from somewhere. That, you know, we're in London. Will it make that much difference?
No, yes, freshness, yes, but also maybe rustiness. You know, you don't play for 2 weeks. I remember it when I was a player, and you're into that rhythm of playing every sort of 4 or 5 days and then 2 weeks off, and you 15, 20 minutes into the game, you're breathing heavy because it feels new again. It's a long time to stew on a 4-0 battering at Newcastle as well, by the way. I worked on that game. They were terrible for the most part, Stoney. Real liability defensively. So yeah, look, they've worked hard on the training ground. But yeah, we've had valuable match practice. And the thing about the last two performances at Wolves and against Chelsea was that I feel like we've got our second wind. I didn't really see fatigue in either game. We ran more than 6 kilometres further than Wolves and more than 6 kilometres further than Chelsea. We look full of running. The thing about Tottenham is that they will be full of running. That one thing that they are is
they're fit,
industrious and fit.
Yeah, they're fit.
So yeah, that's one thing. But I think as long as we play the game and not the occasion, we've got the players, the team, the style to win the game and win it, dare I say, maybe comfortably. But we have to be, you know, set the standards that we set against Chelsea.
Yeah.
We can win this game. I know that we can.
Oh, we can hurt them, but you know, Tottenham away. I mean, that cauldron, you know that there'll be, you know, 58,000 odd of them who will absolutely just love. I mean, we all saw Everton last night and what they did to Liverpool and how much they enjoyed that moment. So, you know, I'm sure Spurs fans will be thinking, yeah, we can do that to them as well. Because that's the nearest they get to a title, right? It's stopping someone else. I mean,
well, I think that's why Adrian's point on last season is so important, because Arsenal players will now have that memory, that experience to draw on of actually succeeding there after not doing so for about 10 years. And that's something I felt they've got better at, not just at Tottenham away, but in away grounds in general. So Newcastle, they tended to have like that wobbly period when they missed out on the Champions League. But even teams like Brighton and Crystal Palace away, these are grounds that Arsenal tended to struggle at, but have now become comfortable living in. And that's the word that Mikel Arteta's used in terms of how they deal with these games, actually living within them. And I think Arsenal have really almost, I don't want to say perfected, because that that's probably too extreme a word, but they've become really adept at directing away games into where they want it to go. And we've seen that with how little chances they give away. So hopefully it's more of the same in that regard.
And Art, would you keep the team that started on Tuesday against Chelsea?
Yeah, so I'd say like I'm 95% in agreement with that. The 5% is, I know it'll probably sound like blasphemy when I say this, but
drop Saliba. Is that what you're saying?
No. I wonder.
Well, we're all thinking that, obviously. Obviously. Big Willie, come on. Can't have him in the team anymore. Yeah, go on.
I'm wondering whether Martinelli's pace would be more suited to the game.
I was thinking exactly the same thing. Adrian, you think, I mean, you're talking about that high line. All you do is you get Martinelli to stand 10 yards further back and get motoring, and Martin Ødegaard plays him through on a diagonal ball and he's away and there's no catching him.
Yeah, you won't catch me sobbing in the corner if Martinelli is picked ahead of Trossard, but I would keep the same team because Trossard is a better finisher. And I think that, you know, they've got a good goalkeeper. They've got two good centre backs. You know, they're going to work really, really hard to deny us clear cut opportunities, aren't they? So, even though I'm confident that we're the stronger team, we might not get tons of chances. So, yeah, Trossard for me is lethal, and Martinelli isn't playing as well as him. So, I think if you had to pick the team on merit and form, you'd probably go with Tross. But yeah, Martinelli stylistically, you would say so, because that's the thing. A lot of these teams that that have a high line, you think Martinelli's made for it, but then they drop their line because Martinelli's playing and they deny a space. I think the one thing you know with Postecoglou is that he's not going to change. So, it's a great option to have up our sleeve. I'd keep the same team. Central midfield is interesting for Spurs as well. It's a bit of a nightmare for them. Just something to consider. They played... Bentancur started the last game with Bissouma and both got took off midway through the second half for Højbjerg and Saar, who didn't really do any better. So, you know, they haven't got central midfielders in form. And I think that that could be really important.
It's controlling the game. It's controlling the game, isn't it? Exactly. Oh, you want to say something?
Yeah, I just think with Rice, if he's used as an eight as well, that would probably help Trossard because Rice is able to carry the ball extremely well, as he did for the first goal against Chelsea. But then when Adrian mentions Tottenham's midfield as well, if he's a bit further up, he can just be a bit more aggressive in what he's doing from a defensive standpoint. So it could just play into Arsenal's hands and allow them to dominate things even more. So, yeah, maybe Trossard is the one to go for with Rice as an eight.
I mean, by the way, on Declan Rice, one more thing before we finish. I mean, he was monstrous again Tuesday, and I've read various pieces about how, you know, he could have been at Man United and what a difference he would have made there. Obviously, Chelsea let him go when he was a kid and he could have been playing for them. And the way that he's playing, and obviously also showing West Ham what he could have done if David Moyes would have let him cross the halfway line rather than just sit in front of the back four. I mean, we bought a player, but I don't know, we've got someone better than that, Adrian. I mean, we've got, not just a leader, but the way that he's played this season. I mean, we didn't even talk about him in the first bit when we talked about Chelsea, but he was outstanding again.
He was, yeah. We've waxed lyrical about how special Martin Odegaard is, but Declan Rice in the position that he plays is just as special.
Yeah.
How many players that are sort of labelled strong defensive midfielders can produce that turn and shot that almost buried into the top corner? I mean, he's kind of got it all, hasn't he, really? Loved that driving run for the opening goal. I'll go back to it.
You know, great.
He pulled wide left on purpose, gave Thomas space to give him that pass because he could see that the right back was on his own. And he saw that 2v1 really early, demanded that he got the ball. And then when he got it, he knew exactly what to do. He had to drive into the box, commit the player, slip Trossard in. It was a beautiful goal.
It was also that how long he waited, by the way. He took it as far as he could and then he played Trossard in and gave him the space. And obviously Leandro's finishing is outstanding. Let's have a song before we close. Art, what have you got for us? Is this in any way related to anything at all?
Yeah. I had a few requests.
Right.
Yeah. After the Chelsea game. So whenever Ben White does well, I post a little clip of basically it's the theme song of Ben 10, a cartoon.
Right.
So yeah, today my selection is the theme song to Ben 10.
And that was what we were all thinking, to be fair. But we never, I mean, it's amazing. We never mentioned Ben White. He got two goals. This is how many goals we're scoring at the moment. Our right fullback gets two goals. We're like, yeah. Of course, that happens every week, that sort of stuff. Adrian, what have you got for us?
Hey, I too received some requests. This matters to the listeners, clearly, and I love it. Dom Bartolo, I'm going to name check Dom. Dom got in touch and said, look, come on, you've got to choose this one in homage to Martin Odegaard. And I'm going to do it. Unbelievable. You're unbelievable.
He is.
By EMF. So, yeah, it's a tune from back in the day. He was unbelievable. And let's hope he is again on Sunday. You're unbelievable.
Yeah, I sort of looked up. I thought I was thinking about pain, right, and inflicting pain on Tottenham on Sunday. And I looked up songs about pain, and the first one came up. Do you really want to hurt me, right, Colchester?
Yeah.
Yes, I do, very, very much. So that's what you're getting. That's it for this edition of Handbrake Off. Good times, Gooners. Thanks to Adrian Clark. Thanks to Art DeRoche. And thanks to Ben, our producer. And we'll see you Monday. Have a good weekend. It's all right.
The Athletic.